Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I changed the text. The assigned text was from Hebrews 9. After this weekend, the beautiful wedding, and all the preachers running around, I thought there must be something more appropriate than the priestly office of Christ. Let's go to the prophetic office of Christ. This weekend has been full of excitement anyway. The cosmic storm on planet Jupiter. We don't know much about it, but we take the words of the people who run Hubble satellite and so forth. Or we think of the first steps on the moon to be celebrated this week. Indeed, some of us remember 25 years ago what we were doing and how excited, how our heart throbbed with pride and with joy and with humility all at the same time. And then yesterday, to top it all off, the Democratic senator from the state of New York, a liberal-minded individual, Patrick Moynihan, in the program with Adam Smith interviewed on Channel 39, he recommended for the world's crisis and for America's moral crisis, he recommended that we go back 2 centuries to England and there see the revival movement as it was carried on by John and Charles Wesley. He thought this is the only solution to our serious problem with crime and morality and so forth in our country. I would this morning like to dwell a bit on the words of the Apostle Paul, which are just as shocking and maybe even more so. These are from Romans 10, and I pray that you will, through these words, as we consider them together, you will praise God, and you and I will together rededicate ourselves anew to His service. I want to talk about the beautiful feet of God's heralds. First of all, to see the lesson from St. Paul for his day, and then the lesson for us today. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, used his outstanding gifts, his superb gifts, which God had given him. In the first 9 chapters, and that becomes the theme of the gospel, the beautiful gospel of or concerning Jesus Christ, who became flesh, is dwelt upon. That Jesus Christ suffered the wrath of God, and that through suffering the wrath and the penalty for all men, he has received from God the Father an acquittal of guilt for all people in the entire world. God was moved by grace to offer up his own Son in sacrifice for this deed. This acquittal is announced in the gospel and must be and can only be accepted by faith. That's the first 8 chapters. Then in chapters 9 to 12, he seems to shift because he begins to accuse people. Forcefully, he accuses his own people, his brothers of Israel, for rejecting the righteousness of God and by establishing or seeking to establish their own righteousness. The righteousness which comes by grace and is accepted by faith, and they tried to establish a righteousness which came from the law. St. Paul is a genius as he uses Moses, and he uses Isaiah, and he uses Joel, and he uses Habakkuk, And he uses many other of the prophets with little insinuations, the prophets of the Old Testament, to point to the work of Christ, to the word of faith, as he calls it in our text, that word which Israel had rejected. Now in the text, in Romans 10, verses 14 to 17, he speaks of a four steps in the process of accepting the gospel. He enumerates these in and by asking questions, rhetorical questions. The first, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And the second question, how shall they believe in him of whom they haven't heard? And the third question, how shall they hear without a preacher? And finally, how shall they preach unless they are sent? These four questions all have their deliberative questions, their rhetorical questions. They have a subjunctive. And I checked again last evening, and Blas de Brunner Funk and Moulton's grammar both admit that when this subjunctive is used, it's not how shall they call, but the NIV is once right in this case. It says, how can they call upon him of whom they have not, and how can they believe, and how can they hear, and how can they preach unless they are sent, so forth. We can reverse this order. We can begin with send, and then move to preach, and then move to hear, and then move to believe. For it was on the point of believe that the crucial issue was. This is a chain. It's the links of which can't be separated. They always, in the work of the kingdom, these four always go together, the sending and the preaching and the hearing and the believing. There are many lessons, important lessons for us, and I want to dwell upon these now in these couple of minutes. St. Paul gives prominence to the fact that the herald or the preacher be sent, the last one, which is, of course, the first actually in the order of salvation. And he does this by dramatizing this aspect of the messenger being sent. He cites Isaiah 52 and the prophet Nahum 1. How beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news. Both Isaiah and Nahum include who preach the gospel of peace among their brethren and so forth. Paul replaces those words, the gospel of peace. He uses the Greek words ta agatha, the good things, the whole plan, everything that pertains to the gospel. It was a beautiful sight in the Old Testament, the apostle says, when the herald came from the east and he said, the captives in Babylon are free. The Cyrus sent the people back to Jerusalem. The city will be rebuilt. The temple will be raised once again, and we can live in peace and happiness. That was a happy day. That was good news, a beautiful sight to hear that herald make this word. And that's the word that is used by Paul. The word is horaioi, horaios, hora, hour. It's a timely, it's something refers to, it's ripe, it's the fruit is ripe, the flowers are in full bloom. It's the same word used in the Septuagint of the fruit of the tree that Eve looked at. It was beautiful for sight, easy to look at. It's the word used of Sarah and of Rachel's particular beauty. It's the word used of the beautiful gate of the temple where that lame man, that cripple, lay in Acts 3. When beautiful refers to feet, it must refer to how the herald walks, with bold, with confident, with joyous steps. The herald who has beautiful feet must show this, must express it somehow in his outward qualities. But it's more than something outward. It was not just shining the shoes, or it was not just the outward dress, not even just the wearing the collar backward. All of these may be important on occasion. But the important thing is, as Paul emphasizes to the Romans in the 6th chapter, he says, stand, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And to the last chapter of the Romans, he says, he speaks to those lay leaders in Rome who had established and who were supporting and sustaining this church in Rome, that the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Jesus sent out his apostles, and each time he sent them out, he reminded them, he who hears you, hears me. He who despises you despises me and him who sent me. And this is the very heart of the argument of St. Paul, namely that the herald who is sent, he is sent by God with the very words of God, with the very voice of God, the very representation of Jesus on his lips, those gracious words proceeding from his mouth. This is, of course, the consuming, the all-embracing task, the academic dean of the whole program of theological education here at China Lutheran Seminary, at Concordia Theological Seminary. We go up to the mountain with Moses and Aaron and the 70 elders, and we see the God of Israel. And there we see, under his feet, as it were, this is in Exodus 24, under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in clarity. When we stand on Christ and on his word, when we are those volunteers who go out in Christ's name and bring his words, we stand like the God of Israel, with feet on sapphire stone, beautiful. I pray this picture may move us to become and to carry on the task to study the word, to become experts in the word, to live and breathe and have our being in that word, so that we might become heralds sent by that word. Thus we get beautiful feet. God help us each in these days, in our seminary preparation, whatever we do, to have those beautiful feet as we gain them through a study of his word. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.